Is there a connection between Peter Pan and the Grotto of Pan, the Temple of Pan? And how do Lilith and fairies fit into this whole thing? We're going to be talking about that and so much more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. Hopefully you're having a good day today. Today's going pretty well for me. And if you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to this channel and click the bell for notifications. We've been dealing with a lot of YouTube tomfoolery where YouTube's deleting our subscribers. And so we've gotten messages from people saying that they used to be subscribed and they're not anymore, even though they did not unsubscribe. And that's apparently been happening. So, click the bell for notifications to always be notified. Make sure you're subscribed. Please subscribe. Or just keep checking back at dailyrenegade.com every day. You're going to get new content every single day at dailyrenegade.com. It's probably the easiest way to do it. Now, one of the most interesting things to talk about, especially in terms of Bible prophecy and Christianity and stuff, is the supernatural. You know, supernatural beings, this idea that the ancients worshipped fallen gods, lowercase g gods. You know, there's a common teaching in Christianity that those gods weren't real. They weren't real gods. They were just made up. And there's a lot of reasons why that is absolutely false. These gods were real. They just weren't the same as Yahweh God. They weren't anywhere close to being comparable to him. God created these other so-called lower G gods, these other, you could think of them as fallen angels. That term isn't exactly correct, but that's sufficient for what we're going to be talking about today. God created these things, and at one point, because they have free will too, they rebelled against God. You know, and this explains why we have so many different religions across the world and different languages and stuff, but especially different religions, because all of these fallen gods took their own portion of humanity and taught them things, you know, but God's portion was Israel. We read about that in Deuteronomy. So because of this, around the world, there's a lot of legends and myths and a lot of things that people used to worship that actually probably were real in a spiritual sense, were real spiritual beings. But then that also kind of gets transformed throughout time. Now, when we think about Peter Pan, for example, a lot of this, by the way, comes from Gary Wayne. If you haven't had a chance to check out his show, The Christian Contrarian, right here on Daily Renegade, you should. You can go to the Daily Renegade YouTube page right on the front and look through the playlists. You'll find The Christian Contrarian right there. Or just go to dailyrenegade.com and search for it. You'll find it there. So a lot of this, what we're going to be talking about today, comes from his research. Though he hasn't talked about it yet on his show, he probably will. So just another good reason to subscribe and also to be a member at dailyrenegade.com. We'll talk a little bit more about what a membership is, but basically you get access to full videos. Now, Peter Pan overflows with polytheistic allegories and memories that are purposely embedded into this into the narrative. Now, J.M. Barrie first created this magical boy named Peter Pan who never grew old in the title is Little White Bird. Now, the Peter Pan fairy tale contains fairies like Tinkerbell. Children are used as allegories for little people or elves, for groups of people and being. There's mermaids, there's a seductive young girl, a nymph, Wendy. A crocodile, the Egyptian serpent dragon god, could be compared to that. Sobek, also called Mese, which while its Mesopotamian equivalent was Mushus, a giant serpentine quadruped, noting Mus Usumgul is Sumerian for serpent. Neverland, the land of youth, where no one grows old. That's immortality, an interdimensional other world, Anwen, Tartarus, home of the Tuatha De Nann Nephilim Titans, connected by some kind of portal or Sidhes, a faulty mound or a fairy mound, a fairy dolmen, allegories all connected to gods, fallen angels, Nephilim, and prehistory. So we get all these connections here, and you actually see this a lot in children's fairy tales. You see a lot of these connections. So in mythology, Pan, and we're going to talk about the Temple of Pan in a minute, but Pan was the Greek god of forests and woodlands. His he was the son of Zeus or Dionysus. The Peter character Pan is compound allegory reflecting many aspects of prehistory. So first Peter reflects elves and all kinds of fairies by his pointed elf ears, slanted serpent, Nephilim, alien, fairy eyes, those types of features. Peter dresses in green, which is displaying pagan vine and leaf imagery, you know, woodland god, the green man, that type of thing. He flies at night to our world, which is Opier or Night Witch, a vampire, to seduce Wendy, the nymph in the nymph role in this story, and plays a Mozart, Freemason, Pan, Pied Piper, magical flute. Now, the green man of the woodland mythos is regarded in occult circles to be the same as Robin Goodfellow and Puck. So Robin Goodfellow is the formal name for Puck in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a play overflowing with fairies. Puck is a sprite and hobgoblin fairy serving Oberon, over rain. It means over rain or overlord, Opier, Night Witch, Vampire, Pendragon of the Fairies, Tuatha De Nann, and ancient Scythians. So Oberon is called the king of the fairies who married Titandis, or a female. You can think of them as female Nephilim. Now, the green man was a fertility nature god who flew at night to seduce young women and is regarded to be the ancient fertility god Pan. The Pan god had pointed ears. He was half human and half goat, possessed horns and legs of a goat, likely Azazel, one of the fallen angels who copulated with humans to produce the Nephilim. You know, we read all about Azazel in the Book of Enoch, and you actually get the word Azazel in Leviticus when it talks about the scapegoat, which that itself is an interesting study. But so Pan was a devil god or an Opier, night witch, who played the flute to seduce young women or nymphs at night. Pan flew at night with his, we'll just say it was very sexualized. And there's a reason that the name Peter is used for the Pan. So Pan flew at night to seduce and have sex and collect nymphs such as Wendy back to his home in the Otherworld dimension or Neverland of youth, as in Peter Pan. Wendy then is the allegorical May Queen, fertility nymph or nymphs of the spring, the queen of the sprites and fairies, Titandis, or the fertility queen, Isis. Now, Wendy, which from Welsh is Gwendolyn, when dressed in white, symbolizes a white phantom fairy queen, just as Queen Guinevere, wife of King Arthur, translates as a white phantom, noting she and King Arthur descended from Tuatha De Nann, the fairy giants. Thus, Arthur was the allegorical king of the fairies, Oberon, Pan, and Osiris. So we have all these connections. Now, water fairies or mermaids in Grail tales guarded portals to the other world. So Le Fay is French for fairy, as in Morgan Le Fay, noting mermaids in some regions are also called Mary Morgan. Robin Goodfellow Hood, or Hodgkin Hobgoblin, dressed in green also, and lived in the forest with his merry men, same as the Lost Boys in Peter Pan. Robin Hood loved Maid Marian, or Mary Maid Mermaid. So we see a connection there. You know, fairy tales and a lot of popular literature and entertainment contain the same kinds of allegories, all linked back to fallen angels, Nephilim, and other rebellious beings in their polytheist religion. So we see that time and time and time again in all of these fairy tales and all of these children's cartoons. Now, you know, would I say that you shouldn't let your kids watch these cartoons? No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say that if you do, you should tell them what the history behind this actually is, so that they're aware of what they're looking at. So, you know, they know that there's a difference between the world and Christians, you know, the world and the spiritually righteous in Jesus. You know, it's important for our children to know that distinction. But for our children to know that distinction, we need to know that distinction. So that is what, you know, the purpose of Peck Report and, you know, all these shows that you see on Daily Renegade is all about. It's really just trying to define the world in better, more accurate terms that goes along with Christianity. So we know what we're up against from the enemy. And you know, it's not just it is only a spiritual enemy that we're up against, but a lot of times the spiritual enemy will influence a physical enemy, will influence a human being. That actually happens quite often. And actually, this is probably a really good segue for me to tell you about the USCCA. Now, the USCCA is an amazing organization, and you should sign up. You should be a responsible adult and sign up for self-defense protection, because you don't ever know when you might have to protect yourself. You might have to use your gun. And if you do, you don't want to get rid of your life savings just trying to prove your innocence. So that's how the USCCA can help you. The USCCA steps in and provides upfront funds to cover your bail, attorney fees, civil and criminal defense costs, and more. They'll also pay for you to replace your gun if the police have to take it as evidence, which they probably will. You get to choose your own attorney. If you don't have one, that's fine. The USCCA actually has an extensive list of pro-Second Amendment attorneys in every single state who you can trust to defend your rights as an American gun owner. They have a critical response team on call all day, every day, even holidays, so you don't have to worry about getting an answering machine. There's three levels of membership, all very affordable. You'd be surprised how affordable this is. So you can pick what works best for you and your needs. So membership covers all forms of self-defense, not only firearms, in order to protect those who do not carry a firearm every day, but would be willing to do whatever is necessary to protect themselves or their family. It also provides a lot of educational materials for free. It goes in with the cost of your membership. So with the USCCA, you can be confident that you will be taken care of if, God forbid, you should ever have to defend yourself with your gun. They also have the training and education you'll need to be prepared, which, again, it's one of the best parts of being a member. They're dedicated to training and educating gun owners. Now, you might like to think that you're pretty knowledgeable, but it seems like every day they've got something new and useful to teach. You can feel better prepared carrying your gun knowing the USCCA is on your side every day. But you don't have to take my word for it. See it for yourself. And again, you're going to be very surprised how affordable these membership plans are. You can go ahead and click on the link in the description below. You can find the banner at dailyrenegade.com, or you can text PECK, P-E-C-K, to the number 87222. That spells USCCA, and you get to see what they have to offer. I'm telling you, do this. You will not be disappointed. There is no harm in at least seeing what they have available. You know what? Speaking of being responsible adults and we have to take our health seriously as well. But a lot of times that can be difficult. It takes a lot of time to prepare a healthy meal, whereas an unhealthy meal you can throw in the oven for 20 minutes and it's done. Well, Ultimate Bundles has got you taken care of. Now you can actually spend a lot less time in the kitchen because this plans all your meals for you and it tells you what to do. It's really super easy. They have over 1,000 whole food recipes in this bundle. There's 38 done-for-you meal plans to choose from. It's nutritional info for every recipe. So with this stuff, not only will you be healthy, but you can lose weight. You can not have to go to the doctor as often. You know, it's really great. It's indexed by dietary needs and health goals. So you can actually set that for yourself, or they can have it, they can have it set up. It integrates with a Real Plan app, makes it super easy. And ultimately what it boils down to is you get to spend less time in the kitchen and provide healthier meals for yourself and for your family. So if you're ready to make mealtime easier, you can just click on the link in the description below or go to dailyrenegade.com and find the banner. The healthy meal planning bundle is only $49.97 right now. If you add $10 more, you get the desserts and drinks bundle along with that. So it's an excellent deal. Does all the guesswork for you. No longer will you have to search online for a healthy recipe. This just takes care of it for you. And again, it's over 1,000 whole food recipes. So you're not going to get, you're not going to have to make the same thing every day. You're not going to get sick of the options. Okay. So we do have to talk about, the Temple of Pan. For the video on that, though, we're gonna do members only for the video, but I'm gonna put a graphic up, and so you at YouTube can still hear the rest. You just won't be able to see the rest. So before we do that, though, let me tell you about why you want to be a member. Why would you want to be a member of Daily Renegade? Well, if you become a member of Daily Renegade today, you're going to have access to full ad-free and exclusive videos that you cannot find anywhere else. You'll get full episodes of Peck Report with myself. You'll get Apollineering with Seth McVeigh, The Christian Contrarian with Gary Wayne, and many, many, many more, many of which have been deemed too controversial for YouTube standards. So there's been deleted. There's been videos that YouTube has deleted and got rid of that aren't allowed on Facebook or anywhere else. You can only get them here. And, you know, it's the truth. So the truth is controversial by nature. So that's going to happen, you know, but you can only get it here. You'll also have full access to our members only message board, where hosts of the shows and viewers of the shows can all fellowship together. So a membership to Daily Renegade, it is only $10 a month or $100 a year, which that's the better deal because then you get 2 months for free. You just pay once and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. But either way, it works out to you having all of this for less than a cup of coffee a day. It breaks down to you having access to 3 or 4 videos, sometimes even more, for every $1 of your membership. So to be a member, you can click on the link in the description below or just go to dailyrenegade.com. If you can't afford to be a member, we do have another option available. You can write for us. We are looking for more writers. So if you want to write for Daily Renegade, if you're good at writing and you understand the audience and you understand, you know, what viewers and readers of our articles are looking for, then you can write articles for us. People have asked me how often do I want articles for a membership? At least once a month, but I prefer it if you can do more. If you can do every day, that's great. You know, the more, the better. I want to get to the point where we're putting out like 50 articles a day. I think that would be really good. But here's the thing. We're not just going to publish anything. It's got to be factual. It's got to be well written. You have to cite your sources. You know, it's got to be an actual article. So if you are interested in trying this out and you want to, you can't afford a membership, but you want to work for a membership, we can definitely do that. Send me an article submission, topic of your choice, 2,000 words or more, put it in a Word or Pages document so I can send it to the editor if we like it. Send me one article, make it something exclusive. You know, I don't really want just a copy and paste from your own website. I want to see what you can actually do today. So 2,000 words or more, email me joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. I'd be happy to take a look at it. And if we like it, that one article will get you at least a free month. And if you can provide a new article at least once a month, again, we prefer every week or every day, if you can do it, the more the better. But if you can at least do once a month, you will have you'll have a membership for as long as you can do that. So we provide that option for people who can't afford the subscription or who would just rather write anyway. Also, in your articles, you can put links to your own website if you want. You can put links to your social media stuff. You can, if you have affiliate links to products, you can do anything you want to help promote yourself. We're okay with that here. So feel free to do that. All right. So let's get that graphic up. All right. So if you are, if you remember, you're still seeing my bright, shiny, beautiful face. If not, if you're just viewing free on YouTube, then you are seeing the graphic right now. But we need to talk about the Temple of Pan and how all this fits. So, you know, you might ask the question, why did Jesus go to Bethsaida on then on to Caesarea Philippi, where he asked the disciples who people thought he was? So Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, why do people say that, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that he told this to Peter right near the Grotto of Pan. You know, I think there's some deep connections here. Now, Bethsaida was just northeast of the Sea of Galilee in Gaulantis and on the road to Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus went next. So Caesarea Philippi is located 32 miles north of Bethsaida and located at the foot of Mount Hermon. Isn't that interesting? Now, this was in Bashan and Gaulantis, home of Canaanite Baal sanctuaries and Canaanite Baal worship. We get that from Judges 1 Chronicles 5:23. So the heart and spirit of polytheism, renowned as the Rock of the Gods, was here. Bashan, Gilead in the south, south of Mount Hermon in north, and from Jordan to Salak and home to the Nephilim, Genesis 14:5. Bashan is made of four provinces, including Gaulantis. Now, Caesarea Philippi is the modern-day reverse of Benias in the Golan Heights region of Israel, established by Ptolemaic Greeks as a Hellenistic city where the worship of the god Pan was centered. Now, by the early first century, Caesarea Philippi was reviled by Orthodox rabbis and was taught that no one good Jew would ever visit there, but Jesus did. So Greeks called Caesarea Philippi Paneas because it reminded them of the caves of Pan, while others called the region Pannonia. Now, thus, a white-domed temple dedicated to Pan was located there. Caesarea Philippi, the city, was located at the foot of Mount Hermon, where it butted up against a large cliff named the Rock of the Gods, because so many pagan shrines and temples were built against the cliff, including temples to Caesar, Pan, and another god, possibly the fertility god Nemesis. Now, we all know why Mount Hermon is so important. That is where, according to the Book of Enoch, the original fallen angels, the original rebels of God, that is where they descended. And that's where they began their terror on the earth of impregnating human women and stuff. So in the center of the Rock of the Gods is a huge cave. That cave was called the Gates of Hades because it was the gate Baal would enter and leave the underworld. Now, in the open-air Pan shrine or temple next to the cave mouth, there was a large niche in which a statue of Pan, again, a half-goat, half-human creature comparable to Azazel, perhaps, but that's where the statue of Pan stood with a large erect phallus, and he was worshipped for his fertility properties. Again, it's not a coincidence that in the children's story that his name is Peter Pan. Now, surrounding Pan in the wall were many smaller niches in which were statues of his attending nymphs. In front of these niches, worshippers of Pan would congregate and partake in really bizarre sexual rites, including copulation with goats to honor Pan. And so Jesus took his 12 disciples to Caesarea Philippi, asking them there, who do people say the Son of Man is? And then declared that he would build his church on the rock, again, that's where we get that terminology, who seemingly was Peter, just as Jesus is also the rock for the church to be built as its corner and foundation stones. But again, this was at the rock of the gods. That's why that terminology there is used. Now, all of this was done in direct contrast, opposition, and denunciation of the religion of fallen angels and their Nephilim offspring, that the rock of the gods, the polyist spiritual center of that region. And additionally, Peter and Paul took the gospel to all polytheist regions of the world, building a church upon the rock who was Peter, Jesus' proclamation. It's an act, and its symbolism likely took place at or very close to the open air at the Temple of Pan. So we get from Luke 9:10 and 18 through 20, verse 10 says, "When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town near called Bethsaida." Now, continuing on in verses 18 through 20, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Peter answered, 'The Christ of God.'" Verse 22, this is Mark 8:22 through 30, says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him." Peter's confession of Christ. Now, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. John 1:44 says, "Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida." John 12:21 says, "They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.'" John 6:1 says, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias." So that is where all of these connections kind of converge in this one Bible story, that Bible account, really, that we as Christians sometimes read over and we take for granted. There's so much rich history there, and it really shows how Jesus undid all the work of the fallen angels and set things straight. You know, a really good book for this topic is by Dr. Michael Heiser. It's called Reversing Hermon. You definitely should check it out. That gets into this whole idea even further. All right, everybody, make sure, if you haven't already, those still listening on YouTube, make sure you become a member of Daily Renegade. And for everybody, please subscribe to this channel. Please subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think. Can you think of any other children's stories or Disney movies that ultimately have pagan roots that tell the story of the fallen angels? Can you think of any more? I would like to know what you think about all this. Please leave me a comment either in the comment section below on YouTube if you're viewing this on YouTube, or at the website at dailyrenegade.com. That's what the message board is for. That's what the comment section and every single page on the website is for. Go ahead and use them. All right, everybody, this has been a blast. Until next time, love you all, take care, and God bless.